Iran calls on the European signatories of the JCPOA to live up to their commitments and play a constructive role in the upcoming meeting on the accord. Jordan says its former crown prince and other senior officials were arrested on Saturday and tried to destabilize the country with the help of foreign parties. And more than 50 people are killed after flash floods and landslides swept through eastern Indonesia, neighboring Timor-Leste. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, Iran's foreign minister has urged the European signatories to the 2015 nuclear deal to play a constructive role in the upcoming meeting on the agreement. Mohammad Javad Zarif made the remark in a phone call with his British counterpart, Dominic Raab. Zarif stressed the necessity of lifting all U.S. sanctions against Iran and described them as illegal and unjust. He said Tehran will reverse its commitment cuts once it verifies the removal of the sanctions. The U.S. reinstated the measures in May of 2018 after it withdrew from the nuclear deal. A year later, Iran began rolling back its commitments, saying the remaining parties, including Europeans, have failed to compensate for the U.S.'s pullout. Iran and those parties will meet in Vienna next Tuesday.
The U.S. and Iran will go back to the negotiating table in Vienna to talk about the nuclear deal. The U.S. State Department made this bombshell announcement on Friday, and it's now the talk of the town. But a high-ranking source in Iran says that Tehran has no such a plan before Washington lifts all sanctions against Iran. Since Biden took office, Iran has made it clear that it is the U.S. that should return to the nuclear deal first, as it was the one that unilaterally and illegally withdrew from the agreement. This stance is shared by Iranian lawmakers as well.
Our leader has put the final word on it. No talks with the U.S. until all sanctions are lifted. After Iran made sure that all of the illegal sanctions are no longer in place, then we would return to our commitments.
There is no point in negotiating to the U.S. while it was the one that broke the international rules and withdrew from the accord. We retaliated by scaling back some of our obligations to the deal, and that's based on Article 35 and 36 of the JCPOA. We have not violated anything.
Senior officials from all signatories to the nuclear deal, namely Iran, France, Germany, the UK, Russia, and China, will gather in the Austrian capital on Tuesday to discuss ways to salvage the ailing accord. The Biden administration is also sending a team of experts to Vienna. Washington hopes to talk to the Iranian representatives over a step-by-step timetable that would bring both sides to compliance with the accord.
And the primary issues that will be discussed are the nuclear steps that Iran would need to take in order to return to compliance with the JCPOA.
There's no step-by-step plan, says Tehran. Iranian officials say the aim of the Vienna session would be to rapidly finalize the removal of all sanctions and nothing else.
Iran will not accept any step-by-step proposal. We think that there will be just one step, lifting all the sanctions. After the verification, Iran will come back to its commitment.
Former U.S. President Donald Trump pulled the U.S. out of the accord in 2018 and reinstated sanctions against Iran. Tehran responded by ramping up its enrichment of uranium and limiting international monitoring of its nuclear sites. Meanwhile, Biden has indicated that he's willing to clean up his predecessor's mess, but has taken no practical steps to do so. Observers say any headway should be made before Iran's presidential elections in June, which could lead to the formation of a new Iranian negotiating team and more delays.
So the bottom line is, there will be no direct or indirect talks between Iran and the U.S. in Vienna or anywhere else. Iran says any return by the U.S. to the nuclear deal will not need any negotiations. Once it's in the deal, Iran will reverse all its remedial steps and will go back to full compliance. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Iraqi security sources say two rockets have hit near an airbase hosting American troops north of the capital, Baghdad. The sources said the rockets fell in a rural area close to the Baghdad airbase. They said no casualties or damage were caused. No group has claimed responsibility. In the past months, U.S.-led forces and their supply convoys have repeatedly been targeted in Iraq. That comes as anti-American sentiments run high there, with calls growing for the expulsion of U.S. forces from Iraq. Such sentiments began to rise after the U.S. assassinated top Iranian General Qasem Soleimani and senior Iraqi commander Abu Mahdi al-Mohandes near Baghdad in January of last year. Activist and political commentator Laith Maruf says the U.S. wants to keep its forces in Iraq to continue looting the country's resources.
It is to continue looting the resources of the country, to continue making sure that the country doesn't solidify into a national identity like it was before, and or unite with its region, natural region around it. And, you know, the United States, this region is very important for it. It's not only because of the oil and the looting of it, but because of the projection of American power cannot exist into Western Asia and Asia in general without the guarantee of the oil supply for its military that advances.
Jordan's deputy prime minister has accused former Crown Prince Hamza bin Hussein of colluding with foreign parties to destabilize the country.
As part of comprehensive investigations conducted by the Jordanian Armed Forces, the Arab Army, and the General Intelligence Department, as well as the Department of Public Security, the security agencies have looked into the long-term activities and movements of Prince Hamza bin al-Hussein, Sharif Hassan bin Zayed, Bassem Ibrahim Awadullah, and other figures that target the stability and security of the country. The investigations monitored interference and calls, including calls with foreign parties regarding the suitable timing to start steps to shake the security of our steady Jordan.
Safadi said up to 16 people had been arrested, in addition to a former minister and a member of the royal family. He said security services have asked for those involved in the plot to be referred to the state security court. Now, early reports that the plot aimed to unseat King Abdullah. Prince Hamza has denied being part of any foreign conspiracy. He says he has been under house arrest as part of a crackdown on critics.
I had a visit from the chief of the general staff of the Jordanian armed forces this morning, in which he informed me that I was not allowed to go out to communicate with people or to meet with them, because that in the meetings that I had been present in.
Prince Hamza accused Jordanian leaders of corruption, incompetence, and harassment. The military has denied that he was put under house arrest. The prince's mother, Queen Noor, has defended her son and described allegations against him as wicked slander. Now, the crisis in the ruling family has raised concern about the stability of Jordan, a key Western ally in the region. The U.S. and its regional allies, including Saudi Arabia, were quick to express their support for King Abdullah. Jordan faces increasing economic and social pressure, exacerbated by the pandemic. Well, flash floods and landslides triggered by torrential rains have killed at least 50 people in eastern Indonesia and neighboring Timor. The death toll is expected to rise as many people are still trapped under the mud. A rescue operation is underway on Indonesia Flores Island. However, persistent downpours and strong winds are hampering efforts. The flooding has caused extensive property damage also. Indonesia's weather agency says a tropical cyclone is nearing the country, which could pack more rain and winds. Moving on to other news now, turning to Kashmir, where street protests have erupted again in Indian-administered Kashmir after a rather long hiatus. The region was gripped by a security crackdown after August 2019, when India stripped Kashmir of its autonomy. Now, violence has reared its ugly head again. Our correspondent, Shahana Bhatt, reports.
After a lull of around 20 months, street protests against Indian rule resurfaced in Indian-controlled Kashmir. That came after three suspected anti-India fighters were killed by government forces in an anti-militancy operation on Friday in the southern district of Pulwama. Officials say two of the three men were involved in killing a policeman guarding a local politician's house. Like in past, hundreds of people marched towards the site of the gun battle in support of the fighters. They chanted slogans against the Indian rule in the region. Government forces used tear gas and fired shotgun pellets at the stone-throwing protesters, injuring four people. India imposed a security crackdown on Kashmir after August 5, 2019, when it unilaterally stripped the region of its autonomy. The crackdown, coupled with the COVID-19 lockdown, kept people from taking to streets. Indian officials call the Kashmir unrest, quote, Pakistan-sponsored terrorism, a charge that Islamabad denies.
Pakistan.
Through social media, Pakistan is instigating, encouraging and radicalizing the youth of Kashmir to join terrorist outfits. The youth are fearless and innocent. They don't know what they are doing. Whoever chooses this path should remember the outcome is either jail or death.
A senior journalist and political analyst from Kashmir says there is pent-up anger among people and this is going to be critical this summer.
A series of laws that have come, including other things which are happening at such a galloping pace. So now people are really trying to express their anger, through one way or the other. You saw the protests in Jamia Masjid, the clashes there. You saw, government degree college in two South Kashmir districts. So I think this summer is going to be very tricky.
Last month, India and Pakistan agreed to abide by their 2003 ceasefire agreement along the de facto borders dividing Kashmir. However, the crackdown by security forces and attacks by militants continue unabated. Kashmir has been a bone of contention between India and Pakistan since their independence from the British rule in 1947. The two countries have fought wars over the region and claim sovereignty over it. After witnessing decades of violence, people in Kashmir aim to see a peaceful future. Majority of people living here believe global powers need to play their part before the animosity between India and Pakistan claims more lives here. Shahana Bhatt, Indian Administered Kashmir.
The coronavirus pandemic has peaked in Eastern Europe as several countries are reporting record high infections and deaths. Ukraine has been setting new records in daily infections and deaths since the beginning of April. Daily new deaths have been above 400 there in the past week. In Hungary, the seven-day average of new deaths have been 250. That has been one of the highest mortality rates in the world. In Poland, new infections are 60 times higher than daily figures reported at the start of the pandemic. And in some areas, hospitals are overwhelmed and COVID patients or airlifted to less affected regions. Well, the virus surge in Eastern Europe is mainly blamed on a sluggish vaccination program and the spread of the more contagious variants. And now to Iran, which has reported more than 11,000 new cases of coronavirus during the past 24 hours. The health ministry spokesperson said 161 people also lost their lives to the virus during the same period. Seema Saadat Lahri warned that COVID-19 is spreading fast in Iran. Daily cases and deaths have been surging during the past few days following the Persian New Year holidays. Currently, 47 Iranian cities are designated as red. That's the highest level in the country's color-coded risk scale. Travel to and from red zones are prohibited as part of COVID restrictions. Total virus cases are nearly 2 million in Iran. The death toll is above 63,000. Well, normal services in government hospitals in Nigeria have been affected following a nationwide strike action by resident doctors. Danjuma Abdullahi brings us more from the Nigerian capital of Abuja.
Most government hospitals have remained largely empty because of a nationwide strike action by resident doctors who constitute a large percentage of medical doctors in government hospitals in Nigeria. Consultancy rooms have remained empty because of the absence of medical doctors to attend to patients. Doctors' union officials said they are tired of the government failing to live up to its promises of settling their salaries and other benefits on time.
Now people are now saying we are neglecting our patients or this and that, but we are saying that our public should help us tell the government to do the needful. Pay me my money so that I'll be 100% mentally, spiritually, physically, and financially okay to be able to do my duty.
Representatives of the Nigerian government met with labor leaders behind closed doors in a last-minute effort to avert the strike, but apparently the meeting ended in a deadlock. The government appealed to the doctors to consider the damage their withdrawal of services will cause to Nigeria's health system. But the resident doctors said the government should keep its several promises.
We have an agreement signed last year. Now they want to give us another agreement. Same thing. Now the resident doctor is saying that we don't want agreement again. We want implementation of that agreement.
This strike is coming at a challenging period, especially with the COVID-19 pandemic, with only about 800,000 Nigerians vaccinated in a country with a population of close to 200 million. Nigeria has 163,000 COVID-19 cases, out of which 2,038 people have died so far. The doctors' union said all the resident doctors at the COVID-19 centers have joined the strike and withdrew their services. This doctors' strike is in progress just when the Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari is receiving treatment in a London hospital. According to union officials, close to 16,000 resident doctors are participating in this strike, which is indefinite. Most of the resident doctors are specialists who provide important healthcare services, especially in emergency wards. Danjuma Abdullahi, Abuja.
And with that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thank you all so much for staying tuned.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
Abhishek Manandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of life.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, April 4th, 2021. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. If you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, dear listeners, Listen to the Special is your program. It's your views that are very important. Keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your program. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports, as you may know, are very important and very useful to us in IRB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. And here, I truly appreciate those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Aaron Teo from the Philippines, Harold Seuss from Austria, and Frank Dees from the Netherlands. Aaron, Harold, and Frank, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Many thanks for sending us reception reports. And a zillion thanks to those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read their emails and letters. Yes, we have an email from Jayanta Chakrabarty, one of our regular listeners from India. We have an email from Arthur Fernandez, Lorella from Spain. I wish I'm right in pronouncing this name. From India again, we have an email from one of our regular listeners from Dildar Ahmed Lagari. Also, Nicolas Perrin from France has sent us an email. The last but not the least is an email from Manfred Manke from Germany. Manfred is one of our regular listeners who has sent us an email. Well, dear listeners, stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back with all these kind messages after the music. Welcome back. Here we have an email from India. This email is from Jayanta Chakrabarty, one of our regular listeners. Jayanta says, "It was quite refreshing to get your beautiful mail after a long time during the pandemic. It's always a pleasure to receive messages from my favorite IRIB English radio station. Hope this letter finds you all in the best of health and spirits. My prayers go out to Allah to keep your team and, in fact, all the friendly Iranian people from harm's way. I really get disturbed and irritated when some world leaders like the U.S. president threaten the peace-loving people of Iran with the burden of sanctions, which really hurt and cause untold pressures on the common people. We in India are in the midst of the scourge of the deadly coronavirus pandemic. Through effective testing and quarantine, the number of affected people are being attended to. Number of positive cases are now beginning to decline. People are strictly maintaining social distancing in economic and social activities, and there has been compulsory wearing of face masks to control the spread of the disease. Hopefully, things are under control, though the country's economy and the GDP have been seriously affected. Government is trying its best efforts in recovering all sectors of the economy. I would request you to send me some Iranian postage stamps for collection, if it is feasible. First of all, salam and greetings to you, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, one of our regular listeners. And here I do express my appreciation for sending us this email. This email was really encouraging and inspiring. IRIB English Radio also hopes to find you and your fellow countrymen and women in the best health and spirits. Jayanta Chakrabarty, as you wish the Iranian people and IRIB English radio staff the best of health and spirits. Thank you very much for this wish, Jayanta Chakrabarty. And you also said you get disturbed and irritated when some world leaders like the U.S. president threaten the peace-loving people of Iran. Yes, but the Iranian nation is a nation which turns the sanctions and the threats into opportunities. Thank God. And you also described the situation regarding the coronavirus pandemic in your country, in India. And you said you are in the midst of the scourge of the deadly coronavirus pandemic. But as you said, by strictly maintaining social distancing and wearing face masks, we can control the spread of the disease. And we hope that the corona disease be over very soon in the future in your country and all around the world. Yes. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, we wish you all the best, and I inform my colleagues about sending you the material you've requested, the postage stamps for your collection. Thanks a lot for sending us this really encouraging and inspiring email. Jayanta Chakrabarty, we wish you all the best. Stay safe and healthy, and write to us very soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. Here we have another email from India. This email is from Dildar Ahmed Lagari, one of our regular listeners, who says, "Dear IRIB English radio staff, I hope that you all will be fine. We listen to your broadcast almost every day, and also we try to send you our reception reports. We request you to register our club information in your mail list so that we can keep in touch better. Thanks, best wishes." Salam and greetings to Dildar Ahmed Lagari from India, one of our regular listeners. Dildar Ahmed, that's a pleasure, that's an honor that you listen to our broadcast every day. Thanks a lot, and thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Also, for sending reception reports. Of course, I inform my colleagues in IRIB English Radio to register your club information in our mail list so that they can keep in touch better. Dildar Ahmed Lagari from India, we wish you all the best. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Here we have an email from France. This email is from Nicolas Perrin. Nicolas says, "Hi, and thank you for your response to my email. I like to listen to your broadcasts and radio stations from foreign countries in general. I can imagine how lively and authentic they are and how much efforts are behind them for producing. Thank you, all the staff." First of all, salam and greetings. Bonjour, Nicolas Perrin from France. And deep thanks to you for sending us this email. Yes, as you said, in order to produce a radio program, much effort is needed, which is really appreciated. And we in IRIB English Radio, of course, we do our best to produce the best quality of the programs, authentic, as you said. Yes, we know it as our duty to produce the most updated, authentic, lively programs for our dear listeners around the world. Anyway, Nicolas Perrin from France, thank you very much for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. So tell us your views about our broadcast. Tell us which programs you like the best in IRIB English Radio. Nicolas Perrin from France, write to us soon. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Wish you all the best. Also, from Spain, we have an email from Artur Fernandez Lorella from Spain. Artur Fernandez says, thank you very much for your message and informing about the QSL sent from your radio. I hope to receive one of them as a confirmation of my old reception report. Thank you in advance. You ask about the current situation in Spain. It is not good, certainly. We have still many cases and even deaths. There is a still lockdown in some regions. Let's see what will happen in the next days. I hope that the situation will get better in Iran. Have a nice week. Let me wish you all the best and stay healthy. Greetings to Artur Fernandez Lorella from Spain, and many thanks for sending us this email to IRIB English Radio. It seems that you received a QSL card from our radio. Of course, my colleagues are doing their best to send our dear listeners these QSL cards. Regarding your information about the situation in your country regarding the coronavirus pandemic, that's a pity. You said there are still many cases and even deaths. We hope that the situation regarding the coronavirus pandemic in your country, Spain, and also around the world gets better, and the disease be over very soon around the world. Anyway, Artur Fernandez, Lorella from Spain, stay safe and healthy. Write to us soon. We wish you all the best. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs, Artur Fernandez from Spain. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Stay with us. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Germany. This email is from Manfred Manke. Manfred Manke is one of our regular listeners who says, dear sirs or madams, I had a great pleasure of receiving your radio, IRIB English Radio, here in Germany. I have sent my reception information about my listening to your station, and I hope that this report would be helpful for you. To make sure that I have been listening to your station, I am enclosing an MP3 recording of my reception. I would be very happy if you could confirm that. It really was your radio I was listening to. Many thanks in advance and best regards. Greetings and salam to Manfred Manke from Germany, one of our regular listeners. And we are grateful to you for sending us this email, Manfred Manke from Germany. We are so happy that our signals are heard in your country and in your region. Manfred Manke from Germany, and thanks a lot for sending us reception information about listening to our station. Yes, of course, this report will be very helpful for my colleagues. Also, thank you very much for enclosing an MP3 recording of your reception. Of course, my colleagues will confirm your MP3 recording and your reception. Anyway, thanks a lot, Manfred Manke from Germany. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Manfred Manke from Germany. Dear listeners, time tells me that we have to skip to the next section of this week's listeners' special, which is interview. We hope you'll enjoy the interview.
Okay, my name is Ibrahima. I finished from International Institute of Journalism here in Abuja. That is the headquarters of Nigeria. And also, I make studies. I study in Germany, I study in France, and I study in some parts of African countries. I am not actually a journalist. I'm working with a radio station here in Kaduna. And I also send reports to so many other radio stations around the globe. Well, most of my kind of job I do is that I have so many things I do, like I do give part, take part-time lectures. I give to some of these part-time university, and I deliver lectures on French and German language as a part-time lecturer. And I also have so many activities that I used to do. I'm a presenter in a radio station, and then so many other things. The English service radio station, firstly, I must tell you the fact that I attach and I cherish, firstly, the style of the presentation that is coming out from the broadcasters. I first listen, it's my orientation that I have from even at the Institute of Journalism. When I used to approach my lecturer on the style of news I used to hear from the English service, it's quite different from our own local radio station here. So I am adapted to the radio station, that is the Iran English service, because I learned so many things with them, and as such, I put it into my practice before I became a serious, a senior reporter here. So it really helped me because I listened to the style of the presentation first, and the presenters are always, I don't know how they organize their reporters, but it's something that I just discovered. I always learn something from their reporters, the style of the presentation, the way they organize the room. But I must have to say that I discover most of the news is basically Arab region reports and the news always within the region, and some parts from the Africa, little, but sometimes from Asia, little. But the much of the news is emphasizing mostly on the region of the Arab, most especially Iran. I must say I learned so many things from that radio station. I must say big thanks to them. I keep on listening because I benefited so many things from them so far. Big thanks go to all the listeners, fans, plus all over the world listening to International Radio of Iran. Big thanks to you, and I just want you to know that Iran Radio remains one of the untouchable and reliable, best information circulation, best in all time of news discovery, the first always to bring a breaking news, ready to give you all whatever I would. My best regards to all good listeners all over the world. I wish you the best, and I wish you keep on listening to this best radio station. Best is what I give you, and the radio is ready to give you the best.
With the best wishes to our dear listeners around the world, we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Keep in touch with IRIB English Radio, and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.parstoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with our Abbey English Radio.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
The Limelight.
For the vast majority of people, COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective, but further research is needed to understand the causes of rare adverse events, says Ariana Remmel, researcher, in an article published under the heading, "Why is it so hard to investigate the rare side effects of COVID vaccines?" Stay tuned for the details, please. In mid-March, several European countries paused distribution of the COVID-19 vaccine made by some pharmaceutical firms following reports that some people had developed blood clotting disorders after receiving the jab. The decisions were based on a group of around 20 million vaccinated people in the UK and European Union, 25 of whom experienced serious blood clots associated with lowered platelet counts, resulting in 9 deaths. These events illustrate how fiendishly challenging it is to prove that a medical problem following immunization known as an adverse event was caused by the vaccine itself. Public health officials must strike a delicate balance when communicating the risk of rare side effects alongside the dangers of severe COVID-19, says vaccinologist Catherine Edwards at Vanderbilt University School of Medicine in Nashville, Tennessee. Physicians worry about fueling anti-vaccine movements that are already increasing vaccine hesitancy in some communities. At the same time, it is important not to dismiss the potential for rare but severe side effects until researchers can establish causality, a process that can take years. In an ideal situation, an adverse event would be directly linked to a vaccine using a specific lab test. For example, an early version of the polio vaccine, which used a weakened form of the virus to generate immunity, caused roughly 1% to develop the disease for every 2.4 million doses given. The virus strain used in the vaccine could be isolated from spinal fluid in these cases, says Edwards, so it was clear that the vaccine had caused the disease. But these kinds of tests are impossible for most adverse events, either because there aren't specific biomarkers to test for, or because such tests are impractical. At least initially, the events are only linked by their timing, A person receives a vaccine and then experiences the side effect at some point afterwards. This makes it particularly challenging to prove whether the adverse event was actually caused by the vaccine. Edward says, especially when the reaction occurs days or weeks after the vaccination itself. To investigate the link, researchers conduct studies to determine the rate of adverse events in vaccinated populations compared with the probability that they occur by chance in people who haven't received the vaccine. They also need to determine the mechanism that could have caused the reaction. During the 2009 H1N1 influenza or swine flu pandemic, public health agencies in Sweden and Finland raised the alarm about an increased rate of narcolepsy, a chronic and debilitating sleep disorder, in children who had received a dose of Pandemrix, a H1N1 vaccine. Incidents of narcolepsy were reported at a rate of about one case per 18,400 vaccine doses, significantly higher than would be expected by chance. Public health officials became concerned about that a component of the vaccine used to increase the body's immune response, called an adjuvant, could cause an unintended immune response that triggered the disease. If the adjuvant did contribute to the increased risk of narcolepsy, it would be an important consideration when designing future vaccines. Early studies suggested that Pandemrix did increase the risk of narcolepsy in certain age groups, but the results were too variable to draw broad conclusions. More than 10 years after that pandemic ended, scientists still don't fully agree about the nature of the link between Pandemrix and narcolepsy. In 2018, vaccinologist Stephen Black at Cincinnati Children's Hospital in Ohio and a group of international colleagues published a study concluding that adjuvants alone are not associated with an increased risk of developing narcolepsy. The researchers compared background rates of narcolepsy in seven countries with the rates reported for groups vaccinated with Pandemrix and two other H1N1 vaccines containing adjuvants. They controlled for prevalence of H1N1 virus in each country and considered that reports of narcolepsy increased across Europe after people became aware of its potential association with the vaccine. We did not find any evidence of increased risk within the countries that we studied, except in Sweden, where the signal had been originally detected, Black says. However, a consensus report published after the International Alliance for Biological Standardization, IABS, 2018 meeting in Brussels, Belgium, concluded that the association between Pandemrix and narcolepsy was consistent in the countries where increased risk was reported. An exact mechanism for the reaction has not been confirmed, although researchers at the meeting deemed it very likely that the disease arose from an unforeseen interaction between the vaccine and the H1N1 virus, Black says. In the case of COVID-19 vaccines, those that are currently being rolled out were tested in clinical trials with thousands of participants before governments authorized their widespread use. These clinical trials are set up to answer the questions about efficacy and to assess the rate of quite common adverse events, such as injection site pain or headaches, says Hilda Bastian, an independent scientist who studies evidence-based medicine in Victoria, Australia. The multiple vaccine specialists interviewed for this story were all keen to emphasize that COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective for the general population. But even the largest clinical trials are not designed to detect extremely rare side effects, which might occur in fewer than one case per 10,000 vaccinations. Because hundreds of millions of people are now being vaccinated against COVID-19, it makes sense that even very rare events such as severe allergic reactions or blood clots will start to appear in safety reports, Bastian says. The challenge now is to work out which of these events are actually linked to the vaccine. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5, and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is a part of a speech delivered on February 22, 2021 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the chairman and members of the Assembly of Experts. The meeting was held at the end of the eighth session of the Assembly. Nuclear weapons forbidden, increasing uranium enrichment based on countries' needs.
When the believers saw the Confederate forces, they said, "This is what Allah and His Messenger had promised us, and Allah and His Messenger told us what was true." And it only added to their faith and their zeal in obedience. Chapter 33, verse 22. When we face a difficult circumstance, we should not become agitated, and we should not make others agitated. This is what Allah and His Messenger had promised us. They had already told us that if we move on the path of the truth, we should expect this. Likewise, Did we make for every messenger an enemy, evil ones, among men and jinn, inspiring each other with flowery discourses by way of deception? Chapter 6, verse 112. We should not be surprised at these things, because they have already told us about them, and we knew it in advance. When such circumstances arise, this aya manifests itself to us and shows us the path we should take in life. There are many other ayahs and examples in this regard as well.
Your light and love, all I see, nothing more I'd ever want to need. My Lord, protect me from dishonor. Grant me faith to be stronger.
One of the issues that occupies my mind as an official in the system is the ayah addressed to Hadhrat Yunus, Jonah, God's greetings be upon him. He made a move out of desperation and exhaustion as his people did not respond to his invitation. Then Allah the Exalted said to that prophet, who had gone through a lot of trouble for a lifetime and who had worked tirelessly all his life, and remember the Noon when he departed in wrath. He imagined that we had no power over him. Chapter 21, verse 87. He thought that God would not be strict with him, but God was indeed strict with him, as a result of which Hadhrat Yunus was disciplined like that. When I feel inactive and passive, whether I get this feeling myself or feel that other officials suffer from it, I remember this ayah. He imagined that we had no power over him. We think that such negligence and inactiveness will not receive a harsh response from Allah, the Exalted. But this is not the case, because this might happen to us and show itself in reality.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.